Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell Reed, my co-host Wynne Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Cynthia Reyes. Every week we visit with a local author. We get an introduction to their work and sometimes a glimpse into their lives. We find out what prompts them to write and give them an opportunity to read from their work. Today we're very pleased to have Cynthia Reyes with us. Welcome, Cynthia.
Thank you, Felicity. Glad to be here.
Cynthia Reyes is the author of A Good Home. She has published nonfiction stories in Arabella magazine, one of the fastest growing magazines in the United States and Canada, as well as in the Globe and Mail, Huffington Post, and Toronto Life. Cynthia is a former journalist and executive producer with CBC. More than 100 episodes of her programs have appeared on network television. She's won national and international awards and acclaim for her work, including the Children's Broadcast Institute Award and the Crystal Award for Outstanding Achievement in Film and Television. But we're going to talk about your book this afternoon, Cynthia. So the title of your recent book is A Good Home, and we'd like to hear more about it. Why do you write so often about home, and what does that word mean to you?
I think I write so often about home because I have hopscotched all over the place. I've lived in many different houses and had to make home in different places. And I think also as you grow up, you realize that you're trying to make a good home for yourself, a good home for your family. You're also looking, when you do buy a place or rent a place, whichever you do, you're trying to find a good home in the sense of a good place to live. But also, I think especially because I've had some interesting and rough experiences in my life, I think I've come to the point where I realize that no matter where you live, no matter who you're with, that good home has to be internal. It has to be inside yourself.
Yes. So many people who settle in Canada refer to their native country as home for years after they've started their lives in this country. What do you think are the most important experiences which allow us to put down roots in a new country and think of it as home?
Yeah, well, it's funny because for years and years, for decades, whenever I would go home to Jamaica, I'd be there and I'd talk about home, meaning Canada.
Yes.
And people would say, you know, when you talk about home here in Canada, we're not sure whether you're talking about Canada or Jamaica, because sometimes I was here, I'd refer to going home to see my family. I think for me, there comes a point where you start to feel as if you are at home in a new land. I think when you get married and you have children and you want to be a good parent and you want to be a good neighbor and you want to make a good home for them, and you start to pay taxes, of course, you start to realize that you're making a home in this country.
Yes.
You know, when you work here, you start to worry about the place and hope for the place. And before you know it, it's home.
Yes.
And I'm not sure it's at any given point that I thought, oh, well, now Canada is home. I do know that when I became a citizen, that was almost a sacred moment for me, because I was making a pledge to this country in which I'd lived for a few years, and as soon as I qualified to become a citizen, I became a citizen. So something must have been at work in me. Mm. But that was almost, you know, I think I nearly cried on the day I became a citizen. But even then, I still talked about home in that dual sense of Canada and Jamaica. But I think once your kids are born,
I absolutely agree with you. Yeah. Bringing up children in this country,
yeah,
makes you feel that you are at home here.
Yes.
It is their only home.
Yes.
Yes.
You have a real stake in the country.
That's right. Please, will you read some of your book to
us? So I thought I would start by reading about where I come from. My sister likes to say that I'm the only person she knows who talks about coming from a tiny little home in a tiny little part of the countryside as if it were a palace, as if it were a Buckingham Palace, because I speak about it with such pride. But it is where I am coming from. So this is on page 9 of my book. When you're little, everything looks big. The home of my early childhood in the late 1950s was a one-story house painted light pink with a tin roof and green trim at windows and doors. A wide stream flowed at the side of our land, and there were too many trees to count. Our house had four small rooms, a front room, a dining room, and two bedrooms, one for the four girls, Yvonne, Pat, me, and our youngest sister, Jackie, the other for our mother and father and our brand new baby brother, Michael. A passerby might have wondered how a house that small could comfortably hold a family of our size, especially when one room, the front room, was used for our father's business. Both of our parents worked at home, our mother as a dressmaker, our father as a barber. But to my six-year-old eyes and mind, it was a huge house. It gave us a place to eat, listen to stories, play tricks on one another, plot the next day's mischief, go to sleep. Our family belonged to this house, and it to us, as though we were extensions of each other. Not once had it ever even occurred to me that we would live anywhere else but here, or sleep anywhere else but in the beds we children shared at night, or eat at any other table than the one where we tucked into the food on our plates half a second after one of our parents had finished saying grace. "Look over there," one of the older girls would whisper loudly during dinner, elbowing the small child seated beside her. "Over there!" As all heads swiveled to look at a faraway spot, a quick fork speared a small dumpling on someone else's plate. The dumpling found its way into a mouth and was swallowed almost immediately. When the family's eyes turned back, the culprit sat with an innocent look on her face, while a younger child stared at her plate. Maybe she'd made a mistake. Maybe, just a moment ago, only one dumpling sat on her plate, not two. The house never seemed crowded, even when our cousins came for summer holidays. We spent almost the entire day playing on the acres of land around our house. We ran barefoot through the fields, climbed the trees, and waded noisily across the wide, sometimes muddy stream that flowed, flooded, and sometimes only trickled through our property. The sounds of home and family were everywhere. Children yelling and laughing, water splashing, the anxious call of our mother when we climbed too high up a tree or wandered too far away in the stream. The trees were tall, but my sisters, cousins, and I were monkeys, scampering easily up their trunks and branches to pick fruit or just to prove that we could. That any tree should think itself beyond our reach, the very thought insulted our pride. If a tree trunk was too thick for us to climb from ground level, we simply climbed the smaller tree next to it, then swung to the large one, yelling and squealing as we let go of one branch and fiercely grabbed the other, pretending to be Tarzan. Then we continued climbing to the very top of the big tree, competing to see who could get there first, yelling triumphantly once at the top. Danger was all around us, but it didn't usually scare us. With loving mother, father, and siblings nearby, with our perfect house, wide stream, and many trees, we felt perfectly safe. Mama had five rules for her own children and those visiting. Number one, stay away from the stream during and after a rainfall. Number two, when you leave the house, always wear clean underwear. Number three, do not steal the neighbor's fruit. Number four, always mind your manners. And number five, always stay together, no matter what. We, especially my older sisters and cousins, tried to obey those rules, but as we tore through our breakfast, eager to start the day's adventures, we remembered only the last two. We minded our manners every time we came across an adult, and we always traveled in a pack.
Thank you, Cynthia. That's lovely. And now we'll take a short break.